Ellie stared at the ground. The field was rocky in many places. She could hear the sound of the surf somewhere to the left. There were berries among the rocks. Perhaps the animals were just eating berries, but that didn't make sense. West Indian lilac berries were terribly bitter. "Finding anything?" Grant said, coming up to join her. Ellie sighed. "Just rocks," she said. "We must be near the beach, because all these rocks are smooth, and they're in funny little piles."
"Funny little piles?" Grant said.
"All over. There's one pile right there," she pointed. As soon as she did, she realized what she was looking at. The rocks were worn, but it had nothing to do with the ocean. These rocks were piled in small piles, almost as if they had been thrown down that way. They were piles of gizzard stones. Many birds and crocodiles swallowed small stones, which collected in a muscular pouch in the digestive tract called the gizzard. Squeezed by the muscles of the gizzard, the stones helped crush tough plant food before it reached the stomach, and thus aided digestion. Some scientists thought dinosaurs also had gizzard stones. For one thing, dinosaur teeth were too small and too little worn to have been used for chewing food. It was presumed that dinosaurs swallowed their food whole and let the gizzard stones break down the plant fibers. And some skeletons had been found with an associated pile of small stones in the abdominal area, but it had never been verified, and gizzard stones, Grant said.
"I think so, yes. They swallow these stones, and after a few weeks the stones are worn smooth. So they regurgitate them, leaving this little pile, and swallow fresh stones. And when they do, they swallow berries as well and get sick."
"I'll be damned," Grant said. "I'm sure you're right." He looked at the pile of stones, brushing through them with his hand, following the instinct of a paleontologist. Then he stopped. "Ellie," he said, "take a look at this."
"Put it there, babe, right in the old mitt,"
Lex cried, and Gennaro threw the ball to her. She threw it back so hard that his hand stung.
"Take it easy, I don't have a glove."
"You wimp,"
she said contemptuously. Annoyed, he fired the ball at her and heard it smack in the leather.
"Now that's more like it," she said.
Standing by the dinosaur, Gennaro continued to play catch as he talked to Malcolm.
"How does this sick dinosaur fit into your theory?"
"It's predicted," Malcolm said.
Gennaro shook his head.
"Is anything not predicted by your theory?"
"Look," Malcolm said, "it's nothing to do with me. It's chaos theory. But I notice nobody is willing to listen to the consequences of the mathematics because they imply very large consequences for human life. Much larger than Heisenberg's principle or Gödel's theorem, which everybody rattles on about. Those are actually rather academic considerations, philosophical considerations. But chaos theory concerns everyday life. Do you know why computers were first built?"
"No," Gennaro said.
"Burn it in there,"
Lex yelled. "Computers were built in the late 1940s because mathematicians like John von Neumann thought that if you had a computer, a machine to handle a lot of variables simultaneously, you would be able to predict the weather. Weather would finally fall to human understanding, and men believed that dream for the next 40 years. They believed that prediction was just a function of keeping track of things. If you knew enough, you could predict anything. That's been a cherished scientific belief since Newton."
"And?"
"Chaos theory throws it right out the window. It says that you can never predict certain phenomena at all. You can never predict the weather more than a few days away. All the money that has been spent on long-range forecasting, about $500 million in the last few decades, is money wasted. It's a fool's errand. It's as pointless as trying to turn lead into gold.